Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Bob Jahi, another edition of Home Base System 101. I'll be in the background. It's my time to tune in, chime in, and get started right after our song play. Remember, it's your time. My time.
Wake up to what I want to be. It's my time to claim my destiny. Time to let go, get ready to fly. Open my heart and reach for the sky. Starting today, I know the reason why. There's nothing I won't try.
It's my time.
Getting ready, the first steps in launching a home-based business. For the last couple of weeks, we've been going over the motivational aspect of why I even think about, you know, having a home-based business, and dealing with topics from The 1 Minute Millionaire by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen on the enlightened way to wealth. Well, today, you know, I want to do is get into some specific things around home-based business. I've been getting some emails. People wanted, you know, had some questions around some specific type information to help with their decision about making that leap into developing a home-based business. And so one of the first topic I want to cover this morning is called calculating the cost and the risks of going into developing a home-based business. Well, you know, we need to be able to, when we look at calculating the cost and the risk, we need to be able to do a comparison here. And we want to do is do a comparison. A lot of people think that a home-based business means taking a lot of risk. Chances are, if you're currently employed, you're taking on more risk than you realize. As an employee, you expect to give up your ability to call all the shots and control your workflow and to schedule an exchange for security. Most of us like to believe that if we do good work, we will always have a job. Well, we know that's not always true. Most Americans who are not self-employed believe that they control that which they give up to attain that security is substantial. Here are some basic realities of being employed. Remember, when you work for someone else, you're told when to come into the office and when to leave. You're told what to do, and in many cases, when to do it. You're told who to work with, whether you consider them to be qualified to do the job or not. You ever have, you know, be at work and you got to work with those people that just, you know, say, why did they match me up with this person today? I don't like working with them. Well, you don't have no choice in that matter in most cases. You would be held responsible for the job you do even if you ask to perform a task, even if you are asked to perform a task that provides no real benefit to the company, and even if you must work with people you would not hire. You might frequently be asked to do all of this in a time frame that allows you little or no personal life with no additional compensation. You ever had them tasks that you get at work where, you know, it's like, why did they give me this, you know? You know, and tell you, oh, well, you get some brownie points. You know, well, brownie points don't pay the bills. You know, I want compensation for what I do. Another thing, you will be told if you can take time off, when you can take the time off, and how long you can be away. If you disagree with any of those decisions, well, too bad. Your choices are to accept the decision or to leave. You know, I mean, it gets really rough at times. You know, people, you know, hey, you know, some jobs, they're not sensitive to our needs. And, you know, we need to take time off or something has happened, or especially those of us that have family and children. And, you know, I enjoy, you know, working from home and having my own home-based business because I'm also responsible for helping raise my grandson. And a lot of times, you know, it's an activity or something that he's involved in, and, you know, he wants me to be able to be there. Fortunately, I'm in a situation where I can do that. I don't have to say, well, I got to go to work today. I can't make it. You know, I wish I could come, but, you know, I got to go to work. And then, you know, children look at you like, why? You know, yeah, and I'm pretty sure some of you out there can relate to this. But also ask yourself these questions. You know, because, you know, one of the things that we want to think about in terms of this whole home-based business thing, sometimes people think it's, you know, it's too risky. With so much control being sacrificed in terms of the job, we should be the most secure workers in the world. But again, ask yourself these questions because most of us are not secure. How many times have you written your resume? How many times have you switched jobs? How many times have you or your coworkers been laid off and not know when you would get in the axe until you were shown the door? How many times have you been told you would not be laid off and then been assigned the workloads of those who had just left? How many hours have you worked without additional compensation only to be told you cannot take time off either? You know, that's the risk of working for someone else. Also, when you work for someone else, you know, we want to do a comparison chart. Self-employment. Customers might not use you, so money does not come in all the time. If you're an employee, customers might not use the company, but you might not know it until the company closes or lay off employees, which means, you know, hey, a company can be downsizing and you don't even know it. You know, and that's the danger of having a job, living from paycheck to paycheck, because you don't know. People say, well, I have a job. I'm not worried. You know, I have a guarantee. You don't have a guarantee. If those people don't make no money, they can't pay you. But they don't tell you they're not making any money. I've seen cases where people working somewhere, and person was working, they was getting paid every week. Then all of a sudden, the company made a switch and said, we're going to be paying you every 2 weeks. I told my friend, I said, look, the company's going through something. I said, they switched payroll from weekly to biweekly because they're having cash flow problems. I said, they're having what? He didn't even understand us. They're having what kind of problems? I said, cash flow problems. I said, reason they're not paying you every 2 weeks right now, their cash flow has changed. And so they're trying to buy time to hope that they can close some deals or something to raise enough money to be able to pay you on that cycle. I said, but if their cash flow problems don't change, it's not going to be long for y'all going to be getting axed. He said, cash flow, I don't understand all this. He said, you always got all them technical business terms, and cash flow is really not the technical of a term. It just means how much cash do you have coming in at a particular time, and then what are your expenses and how you disperse it out. Well, make a long story short, about a month after they changed the payroll, the company closed down, went out of business. So the company might not be making any money, but they don't tell you. When you're working for yourself, you know when you're making money or not. Self-employment, if cash flow slows down, you are the first to know. You have the capability of changing a slow cash flow to a steady cash flow, making your future more secure. Remember, if cash flow slows, if you're an employee, if cash flow slows down, you might be the last to know. Cash flow problems often lead to benefit of salary cuts, layoffs, and even company closure. And because you aren't aware of what is coming, you can find yourself forfeiting expected raises or losing your job entirely with no notice and no time to plan. That's the key right there, no time to plan. You know, working for yourself, if things go slow, you have time to plan how to deal with it. You work for someone else and you come in and they tell you, say, well, you know, we're closing down, here's your 2 weeks service pay. For those that's lucky enough to get 2 weeks service pay. And you say, well, how am I supposed to pay my bills next month? Well, you know, Bill or Bob or Mary, you know, whatever your name might be out there, you know, I really understand, you know, but, you know, hey, you can go apply for unemployment. Well, I got a mortgage, you know, to pay. You know, I got tuition to pay for my children for the private school that they're going to or the daycare. You know, I got to buy groceries. I got to pay my light bill. You know, I got my car note. And that's why, you know, it's important as we focus on this thing of home-based business, how to plan so that you always have a plan for taking care of those responsibilities, those things out there that, you know, are precious to all of us in terms of our day-to-day life. With a job, you never know when things could change, and if you don't have a substantial amount of savings, you could go to work one day and come home with a nightmare. I mean, and for those people that are not really strong, and I've seen it happen in my lifetime, I've seen people, I remember a friend who lost his job, and when he lost his job, 3 days later, he took his own life, which, you know, was very tragic. Some people, they just totally lose it all because they don't know which way to go, what they're going to do next, you know, and his biggest concern was he had no money to pay child support, and he was afraid getting behind on child support and going to jail. So he took his life instead, where there was some other solutions and things he could do. But some of us, you know, we you know, mentally we get whipped, and we see, you know, no way to escape. And so that's, you know, it's one of the tragic things about, again, working other places. If you don't have a plan for when they come in one day and say, hey, we're closing shop, then you could, you know, if you're mentally weak, you could find yourself in that position. Self-employment. You can choose to cut expenses in order to preserve your cash flow. Ah, but at the company, you have no say-so of expenses, even if salary might be at risk. You know, when you work for a company, you don't have any say-so on how they can cut expenses. You know, and most of the time, they don't cut them at the top. They cut them at the bottom. You know, they don't cut stuff for the executives and all of those. They keep living plush, you know. Enron was a good example of, you know, how people really got screwed. And so, you know, that's, you know, again, some of the dangers of working for these other places. Self-employment, you can plan personally for buyouts, mergers, and business succession, which means when you have your own business, you can decide who you want to merge with. Or if you see something, another company you might be able to buy out or do, I like to call networking with. When you work for a company, you have no choice. You cannot plan personal buyouts, mergers, and business succession because knowledge of these actions is limited, which means you can't choose who the company can network with. You can make a suggestion, and usually if you make a suggestion, even if they do it and they profit from it, you usually don't get anything. Other thing about self-employment, you receive direct feedback from your customers and the bank account regarding the health of your business. You would know exactly what's going on with your business because you're the one that's responsible for your banking and all of that. When you work for someone else, you receive no direct feedback. You provide only with the feedback that is approved and perhaps edited by the company. Self-employment. Business will not relocate unless you choose to make it happen. Now, that's another beauty, you know, in terms of self-employment. It's your business. You don't have to worry about coming in tomorrow and they say, well, we're closing down and we're moving to Japan or somewhere else. You know, when you work for another company, business might relocate with little or no notice. Relocation can be across the country or across the world. Self-employment. You control your retirement contributions and plan. If you work for someone else, you have little to no control over retirement contributions and plan. Remember Enron again. You know, people really got screwed. They thought they had something working for them, but you don't really know. Well, when you work for yourself, you get to plan your retirement plan. You get to decide how that's going to work. And even if you start off small, just saving 10% of what you bring in and putting it aside, and even if you put it in a low bearing interest CD, it's going to grow to something, you know. But, you know, there's some other ways to look at how to invest your money. And, you know, down the road, one of our other shows, we'll deal with investments and how to plan for our retirement as a home-based business operator. And I know a couple of investment people, and I'll see if I can get them on the show. Also, self-employment. If your work results in additional income, you receive that income directly. That's the one of the other beauties I like. You know, hey, if you do something that brings in extra income for your company, you receive it. When you do that for another company, if your work results in additional income, you continue to receive your salary. You might or might not receive a bonus. And if you do receive a bonus, it might or might not compensate you for additional hours you contributed. So, you know, hey, the company has an option whether they want to give you a bonus or not give you a bonus based on, you know, things that you've done to help bring in extra income for the company. Ability, self-employment, ability to earn more is largely under your control. Again, you know, you can earn more, it's under your control. Most of the time for other companies, the only way you earn more is, you know, hey, you got to play office politics and work overtime. Self-employment, the business is run to make you money. You can earn as much as you possibly can. When you work for a company, the business is run to make executive and shareholders money. You are paid as little as possible. Remember that always, you know. A lot of times people ask me about, when I talk about network marketing, they talk about, oh, that's a pyramid. No, a job is a pyramid, not network marketing. You know, you move a product in network marketing. Job is a pyramid. Why is a job a pyramid? Because there's more people at the bottom than there is at the top, and you, the person at the top, is not giving up their position. Remember, when you do network marketing, you can raise to any level within that network marketing company's level to make the kind of income you want. Example, like I'm involved in YTB, you know, and everyone has the opportunity to become a director. You know, and when you rise to the level of director, you know, hey, the company rewards you very well. I'll cover that later on when I do my commercial break. But the thing was, again, in network marketing, it's not a pyramid. A pyramid is the job. The job is a pyramid. Remember that. Always remember that. Please remember that, listening audience, because too often people get this whole thing about pyramids and stuff all confused. And that when you work a job, the owner of the company is not going to give you his position. I don't care how hard you work for him. You know, he might give you, like I said, a bonus or two now and then, might, you know, give you a raise, but you will never get his or her position. So remember that. It's very, very important. Okay, next we want to do, as we look at this whole thing of calculating the cost and the hidden cost of being an employee. See, that one of the other hidden costs of being an employee, such items as commuting. Employee pays almost never tax deductible. In other words, you pay for the cost to get to and from your job. As a business owner, you choose costs by choosing location of business. Home-based business owner has no cost because you're operating out of your home, and when you go out of your home, it's a tax write-off in terms of the things that you have to do for your business. It's very important to understand that. You know, commuting, that when you work for someone else, going back and forth, that is a part of the baggage. And so you then have to calculate in how much it's going to cost you in gas. And even having an automobile, you can work a home-based business and don't even have to have an automobile, you know, which means, you know, some people do that. Some people, you know, don't see the need to have a car, especially if you live in somewhere, city like New York, where you can just basically public transportation, you can get, you know, basically anywhere and everywhere you want to get to. Another hidden cost is lunch. When you work for someone else, you might have to eat out. The employer might not have or provide a kitchen facilities, and they're always never tax deductible. Well, you know, when you work for yourself, you can eat lunch at home. The food you already have, you have your own kitchen. Or if you take a client out. You take a client out, meet a client out for lunch. That is also a business expense, tax deductible. Dry cleaning, another expense. You know, you have work for someone else, they have dress codes. And based on the type of dress codes they have, you know, some of them high-profile jobs, you might need to wear business attire every day. So you got to keep your clothes clean. Some stuff you just don't get a chance, you know, you're not washing the suit. That's going to go to the cleaners. Well, when you work at home, you know, unless you're entertaining a client, you probably won't need as much professional clothing, no matter what style of business you do. Except for, you know, when you, however you dress when you go out to meet a client. Other than that, you know what I mean? And then if you have, like, some businesses that I know, a couple of people have at home where they have a mail order catalog business. And basically, you know, their interaction with clients is basically through the Internet, and people go online, order stuff from them, and they get it shipped to them. So they usually have no interaction with their client other than Internet communication, sending them a thank you card, or this particular client I know, they keep a profile on people like birthdays, anniversaries, and stuff like that. And they, you know, they send them cards. So they really don't have to have business attire. Because they're not going out to meet anyone. Resumes and other expenses to find work, usually a constant expense, can only deduct from taxes if itemized. Well, when you work for yourself, finding work is called marketing, directly deducted as a business expense. Another item, home office, including computers and other equipment. You know, when you work for someone else, you know, you might have to bear some of the expenses, even though the work is done there. Employer says location of work is the office. When you work for yourself, business owner decides whether to have a home office as a home business owner. Costs are deductible as a business expense, which means your computers, your telephone, your cell phone, all of those now become deductible business items because you're using them for your business. And so when your laptop, your fax machine, your automobile, as I said earlier, you know, your car insurance, all of these now have become part and parcel of your business, whether your business is a proprietorship, a limited liability corporation, a sub-chapter S corporation, a corporation, or profit or nonprofit, whatever type of business you have, all of these things become part of your expenses. Okay. But there's a couple other things that you need to make a decision on. Before you give notice, however, it's important to realize that you are taking on a whole new set of risks when you launch your own home-based business. And along with those risks comes a set of costs your employer currently subsidizes or pays outright. Anyone who is considering, listen carefully out there again and listen, anyone who is considering starting a home-based business has to stop and weigh the costs and risks in order to understand the challenges he or she is facing. This risk and cost assessment shouldn't discourage you from striking out on your own, but it should prepare you for the road ahead. So, you know, you want to decide what is the cost going to be and whether or not you want to initially work your business, home-based business, part-time and continue to work your job until you save up maybe 3 to 4 months of your bills and have enough cash flow, you know, coming in from your home-based business that you can leave the job and go full-time into your home-based business. Okay, next thing we want to do is called assessing your home-based business readiness. Assessing your home-based business readiness. And these are the questions you need to ask yourself and then answer them true or false. A home-based business should turn a reasonable profit within the first year, otherwise there's a problem, true or false. That's a big question there. Okay, the answer is false. Home-based business might not show a profit for 3 to 5 years, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad idea. If you have an interest in starting your own home-based business, you'll probably receive mountains of advertising promising great riches or little or no work. Again, one of my earlier shows, I talked about, you know, these people tell you, you know, you can do this, and you know, hey, you know, you don't have to even put in hardly any time. You can do this an hour a day, and you're gonna make all of this money. Don't believe that, people. There's no such thing as something for nothing. Everything requires work. People say you only have to put in 10 hours a week, and you'll make all of this money. Go check out the people that are making that money in that particular business and see if they work 10 hours a week. I guarantee you, in most cases, they're working 40-plus a week. You know, and they have the ability to take off when they want, but when they work, believe me. And then usually even when they're off, they're still working because if they're dealing with people, especially network marketing, their cell phone is always off the hook ringing. They're constantly talking to people. Hooking up meetings, sharing information with people, where people can go to their website and get information. So they ain't like, you know, they do little and then they do nothing. They're constantly working. They reach a point, though, where they have enough residual income that they don't have to put in, you know, that 40-plus hours a week anymore. But in the initial phases, and hear what I say, key, in the initial phases, they're working 40-plus hours a week until they build that base to do that. And again, a home-based business might not show profit for the first 3 to 5 years, so there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to put in the time. Those who take their business seriously put in a lot of hard work and effort. If you do the same, there's a good chance you will have enough money to pay your bills after a few weeks, a few months, or a few years. Being rich might happen much later, or it might not happen at all for you. Some businesses, such as printing, are pretty straightforward and therefore might require very little lead time. By lead time, I mean the amount of time from when a prospective client first expressed interest to the time when the business owner has done the work and it is paid. Think about it. You walk into your local print shop. The employee runs 100 copies, and you walk out again. The lead time is short, and exchange of money for service is straightforward because you pay a set amount in exchange for a set number of copies. Okay, question number 2. Home-based business success depends heavily on starting it correctly. Well, that's not necessarily true neither. Home-based businesses can survive with some minor mistakes at the beginning, but will certainly fail if owners expect the business to run itself. In other words, you can make some mistakes in the beginning. You can, as I call, fumble and bumble. You know, learn your way. You know, you want to try to, you know, have a game plan that keeps you from fumbling and bumbling. But, you know, hey, when you first start off, it's new. I can tell you, I've been doing this for quite some time. When I first started off, made a lot of mistakes. You know, mistakes I don't make anymore. You know, but I mean, you know, so don't get uptight with yourself if you make mistakes. You can survive the minor mistakes in the beginning. But in the long run, your business has to work by a system. Okay, home-based business owners work hard day after day. Depending on whether your home-based business is a full-time or part-time venture, you can expect it to take more than 40 hours a week to run, and it could consume every spare moment you have. This is especially true during the first 3 years. Yes, you will be able to attend your children's soccer game on Tuesday afternoon and attend a matinee on occasional Wednesday, but that will probably mean working more hours some other day. Do not confuse flexible schedule with lack of a schedule. You still have to, you have a flexible schedule, but you still must maintain a schedule. So it's important. Business is not going to run by itself. You have to have a schedule, and you got to be able to stick to your schedule. And that's so important. You know, and your schedule can be flexible, but if you substitute one thing, then you got to put it back on the other side and making sure that you do that. Okay. Number three, most home-based businesses follow the same general business plan and pattern and succeed if owners adopt a few standard rules and practices. False again. A home-based business is not a one-size-fits-all venture. Again, remember that. It's not a one-size-fits-all venture. It's not, you know, this is the only way to run a home-based business. Remember, some people are going to tell you, well, you know, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. Again, some things you're going to learn by trial and error. Yes, it is important to have a business plan, but your business plan can always changes. It gives you a roadmap, but as you're going down that road, you might see a detour. The same way you're driving down the highway, and I always tell people, you know, when you're taking a cross-country trip, know the detours. In case you're riding down the road and something happens and there's an accident and you only know one way to go and you don't know, you know, a detour. Perfect example, when I had to leave New Orleans in terms of Hurricane Katrina, because I knew the back roads to get to Baton Rouge, we was able to get off of the main road, and I knew some back roads that we could take that was hardly any other cars on. A lot of the people didn't know the back roads. We was able to take the back road and go up River Road, get out of the main flow of traffic, and get to our destination by having knowing detours. So you have a business plan, and you set that business plan, and we'll be talking about business plans next week. You set that business plan up, but you want to know how to take a detour when it's necessary. And remember, a home-based business is not a one-size-fits-all venture. The business you choose must be directly tied to you, not only to your skills and experience, but also to your own likes and dislikes, enjoyments, dreams, and goals. Whether a particular business is suitable for you can only be answered by you. Don't get involved in something you don't like. I tell people that all the time. Even when I'm out and I'm trying to get people signed up for the particular home-based business that I'm in, YTB, you know, if it's something about it that they don't really like, then I tell them, you know, hey, I don't care how much money can be made in this. If you don't like it, you ain't going to do it. So, you know, save yourself the trouble and, you know, frustration, and just be honest. And, you know, I can accept it because I know it's not a one-size-fits-all venture. If you don't like certain things about something, I don't care how much money people say you can make. You're not going to do it. So your home-based business has to reflect you. It's got to be something that you just enjoy. You get up out of the bed in the morning, you're just so, you know, excited about getting started on your day in terms of your business. It can't not be for money only. Hear me again, people. Though you open a home-based business because you want to be able to have the ability to control and make money, well, earn money on your own, that cannot be the sole reason. It has to be some enjoyment there. It's got to be something that you really like doing. Do not, I repeat, do not venture into some type of business that you do not really care for or like doing. Question number four. You need money to make money, so you shouldn't try to start a home-based business unless you already accumulated some wealth. True or false? Again, that's false. You can get wealthy by operating a home-based business, but you do not have to be wealthy already. You do not have, excuse me, you do not have to have a whole lot of money to open up your own home-based business. Again, I did a workshop 1 year for people that was coming out of incarceration who were having a hard time finding a job. And it was a fall time, and I asked them, did they know somebody they could get a rake from and a couple of dollars to buy some trash bags. And people looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm going to show you how to start a landscape business with a rake and some trash bags. So what you do is you go out and you rake people's leaves. As you rake their leaves, you charge people $15 to $20 a yard. You do 5 yards a day. That's $75 to $100. You do that 5 days out of the week. Take Saturday and Sunday off. You just earn anywhere from $350 to $500 for the week, tax-free. Your money. Save part of that. As you do that after a couple of weeks, you save part of that. You turn it over. You buy yourself a lawnmower. From having a lawnmower, now not only can you rake leaves, you can also cut grass. As you get some more clients, and remember, you do word of mouth. If you do a good job, Miss Murray's going to tell Miss Sue. Miss Sue's going to tell Miss Linda. Miss Linda's going to tell Mr. Bill. Mr. Bill's going to tell Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob's going to tell Miss Elizabeth. And before you know it, you got 10 or 15 loyal customers that you can service. And now from started off with just a rake and some trash bags. And from there, you've built a landscaping business where you can, you know, study how to fix people's yards up, design it. You make enough money, you can go to the Home Depot or one of these other places and get the kind of things that you need and can end up developing a whole full-scale landscaping business, but it all started with a rake and some trash bags. So, again, you do not have to have a lot of money. You do not have to be wealthy to take a business idea and begin to explore and develop a business. The next question, true or false, number 5. A college degree is a key indicator of whether you can start and successfully run a home business. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Results count. That's what counts. Results count. Did you know that Bill Gates dropped out of college? Dave Thomas, who started Wendy's fast food chain, never made it to high school. Some studies have shown that college graduates earn more, but these studies have overwhelmingly focused on people who are employees, not business owners. So remember that you don't have to have a college degree to start running your own home-based business. So, you know, this, again, is exposing these myths and things that people tell you that you must have to be able to do this whole thing in terms of home-based business. Okay, we want to do is go into next is 10 questions to assess your home-based business potential. We cover these 10 questions. And question number 1, if you were laid off today, how long could you live on the cash in your checking and savings account? Do not count retirement stocks or bonds. Very good question there. Hey, you know, if you were laid off today, how long could you live off the cash you have in your checking and savings accounts? I know most people that are working, and I've done workshops on this, and it's really sad. I know most people that are working, if they miss 2 paychecks, they'd be homeless. Question number 2, what marketable skills do you have, and how do they apply to the home-based business you've chosen to launch? If you run into someone who could refer 100 ideal customers to you right now, how would you describe your business in 30 seconds or less? So you got to have that, they call that elevator pitch, you know. And you want to work on that, you know, how to describe your business in 30 seconds or less. So if you run into that ideal customer, boom, you can give them your pitch line, exchange their card, get their name, their phone number, their email address, and have a means to follow up. Question number 3, how do businesses similar to the one you propose to launch gain customers? Be specific. How much do you know about the industry or profession you're entering into? It's very important not to, again, venture into something that you don't know hardly jack about. You know, you want to make sure that you know about what it is, the venture that you want to, you know, that you want to get into and how to deal with it and know what other people are doing in that industry. Question number 4, what happens on days when you just don't feel like working but things have to get done? Do you accomplish the task before you or do you spend your time trying to avoid them? There's a principle that says do it now. Procrastination is one of the greatest dangers that we have to get rid of in, you know, a home-based business. You know, it's important that you push yourself, get your tasks done. Remember, there is nobody else that's going to do it for you. You know, you can skate on the job at times, and sometimes other people will pick up your slack. There is nobody to pick up your slack when you work for yourself. Either you do it or it does not get done. So you're going to have those days when you don't feel like doing anything, and things that have to get done, you got to get them done. You know, there's no escaping it. You got to get it done. If you don't, then it's just going to cause stuff to back up. And, you know, you get behind and, you know, remember, you don't have no extra help unless you're going to look to bring some people in. And then if you do, you're going to have to pay them. So it's going to cost you one way or the other, but not taking care of those things need to be taken care of. Number five, have you ever worked toward a goal that took 6 months or more to complete? How do you motivate yourself to sacrifice time, money, and other resources? A lot of times you work on a project and you're not going to see again it's a success. It might take you 6 months, 5 months, 7 months to make it happen. I had a goal last year, and it took from December to May to get everything together so that the project could take place in June. But from December to May, there was no cash flow on the project, just getting it all put together. And then by June, it began to manifest. So, I mean, you got to be able to know how to put time in and work on something, even when it's not bringing in any money right then and there. Number six, can you give an example of a time you said no to someone regarding a business request while still maintaining a strong business relationship? Are you able to speak up for your own needs and wants politely? Politely at first, anyway. You know, in other words, you know, you got to know when to be able to say no, but still be able to maintain a business relationship with someone. You're not going to say yes to everything, you know. I know they have this saying that said the customer's always right. Well, that's true and false. I mean, yeah, you know, you need that customer, and you need to be able to figure out how to maintain relationship, you know, with them, but not at all expense. Sometimes the customer is wrong. But you need the customer. So that's it's a juggling act, a balancing act. And you need to know how to be able to say no and still be able to maintain a business relationship with someone. Number seven, can you locate last year's utility bills? How much money was in your checking account 1 year ago today? It's important to be able to keep track of things and having a system, a filing system, so that you can keep track of your expenses, how your expenses go, and then where you can chart the growth of your business, whether it's growing or whether it's going down. Being to compare your business from last year to 1 year to the next. Number eight, why do you learn new things? Because you want to, because someone else told you it was a good idea, a little bit of both. When was the last time you learned a new skill or took a class regarding some aspect of your line of work? Always try to find different ways to enhance your development with what you do. So I have two businesses. One of the things that I do in my youth development business at times, I take training classes to learn new ideas in the field, what's going on, to sharpen my skills and know professionally what other people are doing in my line of work. In the travel business, you know, I do online study classes to know about travel trends, vacation savings, and other type things that can help people far as travel industry and making sure that I keep myself aware of that type of information. Number nine, you must go to another city 300 miles away for a business meeting. All flights are booked. Your car is in the shop for repairs. What do you do? Again, having those plans, knowing how you want to be able to get from somewhere. It means planning ahead of time. If you know you got a business meeting where you're going to have to go somewhere else and it's a very, very important and critical business meeting, then you got to pre-plan so that you don't get caught into a situation where if you got to take a plane and all the flights are booked, or, you know, if your car's not running and you can't drive, you need to know about the train. Last resort is the gray dog, the Greyhound bus. But you got to have a plan. And number 10, do you serve on a nonprofit board? Have you ever organized an event for your favorite charity? Do you currently supervise others? Are you responsible for another person's welfare? How do you handle being in charge? Can you admit your mistakes even when you're in a leadership position? So all of those experiences help by being involved in such things as a nonprofit, or have worked for charity, or had to supervise others, and being able to admit when you're wrong, even when you're in a leadership position. Remember, sometimes we make mistakes, and it's important that, you know, a good leader is the first to take blame for things when they're wrong. And, I mean, when you look at, like, team sports, even though to me the team loses, but the coach always says, no, the coach lost, the team won. I mean, you know, because they say the coach didn't come up with the right game plan. You know, the players got to execute it, but, you know, that's one of the sayings in sports. The coach lost, the team won. So, you know, as a leader, you know, you have to take responsibility when things don't go right, and that's a tough one. It's easy to play the blame game. Remember, out of the book we was going through, 1 Minute Millionaire, you know, there's two sides of life, you know, learn and blame. You know, live above the line. Learn from your mistakes and admit them. Don't play the blame game. Don't say, well, this would have went right if you hadn't done so-and-so. No, don't do it. You chase people away from you. You want to do not play the blame game. Okay, that basically covers the topics I wanted to cover this morning as far as getting started in your home-based business and questions that you need to ask yourself. Next week we're going to go into business plan and, you know, taking that, breaking that down to what, where, when, and how of a business plan, and taking and breaking that down. As I wrap up this morning's show, again, I want to remind you that the book that I put out there for people to read, and I will put more information on it again on my blog post, as I update my blog post this week, is The 1 Minute Millionaire by Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen. And in that book, you know, I went through their 24 steps that they talked about as far as developing the mindset towards moving to becoming a millionaire and enlightened way to wealth, the enlightened way to wealth. And one of the things they talk about is you should, you know, begin to put this in motion for yourself with your home-based business. It's 10% of what you make tied to your favorite charity. Keep the gates, the floodgates of money working for you. Give 10% of what you make to your favorite charity. You know, you have to do that. Also, find time to donate some time. You know, time, talent, and money, as my good friend Father A.J. McKnight used to always share with us, is that, you know, we got, you know, sometimes you can do all three. You know, sometimes you can only do one, time. Sometimes you can do talent. Sometimes you can do, you know, money. Sometimes you can do all three of them, time, talent, and money, as far as helping out others. It's when you help others that others will help you. As they said, what goes around comes around. If you want success, then you have to help other people become successful. One of the things we do in youth development, I let young people know that there's a saying that we have from a program called Rites of Passage, and it says, because someone else made it possible for me, I must make it possible for someone else. So there's some gift, there's some talent, there's some skill that you can share with other people that can help make their life better. As a closeout, I want to remind you that this program is brought to you by the Jahi Travel Site, which is part of the YTB Network. And YTB Network, we're part of the travel industry, a $7 trillion travel industry a year, and it's constantly growing, a big business. And YTB Opportunity, it allows people to take advantage of one or two opportunities. There's two opportunities. You can take advantage of either one or take advantage of both. You can get your own online travel booking engine, and people can go to your site and they can book their travel, and you can also book your own travel. And there's 44 revenue streams on your travel booking engine site. So it's more than cruises, airplane tickets, hotel rooms, car rentals. You know, there's flowers. If you're brave enough today to want to be in Green Bay or New England, to be out there in the frigid cold to watch the football game, people could buy tickets off your site. For football, basketball, baseball, hockey, NASCAR, you know, sporting events, people that want to go see major play, whatever, they can buy tickets off your site. There's so many different ways that travel is marketed. So it's very important that you take and look at, again, what YTB offers in terms of a travel booking engine. The other aspect that the company offers is how to become a rep. And as a rep, you can sell travel stores. And that can become a very lucrative opportunity. The company offers people a $6,000 guarantee. A $6,000 guarantee for people who come into the business. The company feels so confident that people will make money in this business in their first year that they guarantee people $6,000. If you come in, follow the system, and make no money, they will give you a check for $6,000. Again, we're winding down. You know, we covered this morning the how to get started with your home-based business. Again, the home-based business opportunity that I share with people is the YTB opportunity. You can send me emails. If you're interested in more information about that opportunity, to, you know, request information. The most important thing, again, as I talked about this morning, is whatever your home-based business idea is, don't let other people turn you around. Follow it, because there are more risks in working for others than it is working for yourself. Remember, there's more risk in working for others than working for yourself. You know, there's some risk there for working for yourself, but basically you really have a bigger advantage and you save tremendous amount of money on your taxes. Again, most people are losing $4,000 to $5,000 a year on taxes. Again, when you go into developing your own home-based business, one of the greatest tax shelters that anyone could have here in the United States of America. And next week, let's say we'll be going over your business plan, how to put together a business plan. We'll be going into actual information, and I'll be posting some information on the blog on procedures for writing a business plan, how to develop a business plan, because even though it's a home-based business, you still need a business plan. And even though your business plan will change often, because you will run into detours, as I said before, when you're driving down a highway, you need to know. Just like driving down a highway, you need to know if there's an alternate route and you come into a stumbling block and the traffic's backed up, how to get off of that road, get onto another road to still get to your destination without sitting there stalled in three lanes of traffic, bumper to bumper, and the cars aren't moving anywhere. Again, when I had to evacuate from New Orleans for Hurricane Katrina, I knew an alternate route and was able to get from off the main road onto the back roads where hardly were no cars at and made some time, or we could have stayed stuck in the bumper-to-bumper traffic. It's the same with your business plan. You want to be able to have a plan, but also be able to have a detour system when it's time to take a detour. Business planning is very, very important and key and crucial to the lifeblood and growth and development of your business. Also next week, we will be giving away a free weekend getaway as part of our travel business. So you definitely want to be able to tune in, because the only way a person can win the prize is they have to be listening and be able to call in to the show. And when they call in, we'll have a one-question quiz on something that we covered on the show, on that day's show, and answer correctly, and the person will win a weekend getaway. And depending on what part of the country you live in, you know, determine, you know, what type of getaway trip that we can come up, you know, for you. But we'll work all of those details out. And, you know, I'm excited as we go into this new year. As I told you, I started the new year off on a 78-week journey and path to becoming a millionaire. And we're going to go into week three this week, and some things are starting to unfold from the business plan that I put together to make that happen. And again, as I shared with you before, You know, sometimes you have to put things in motion, and it might take 4, 5, 6 months before you start seeing results, sometime a couple of weeks. Last year I had a project I worked on. I started in December. It wasn't until May that things came together, and then it was able to manifest itself in June. And so it's going to be the same with this journey that I'm currently working on, and you can keep track of it. You know, God willing, I will be here 76 weeks from now, and we'll still Blog Talk Radio still will exist, still be on the air, and you'll be able to keep track as we make this journey. And hopefully some other people that have been listening, people that have been emailing me, also be interested in making the journey and becoming part of the Enlightened Millionaire Circle and take full advantage of these type of opportunities. And really wind down the show. And my computer has froze on me here, and I'm going to try to get my theme music back up and other stuff. So if I fade out on you, I thank you for listening this week, and we'll be coming back again next week with another edition of Home-Based Business 101. This is Baba Jahi. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Have a safe week, and look forward to being on these airwaves again next week. Take care.